Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, at the year ending for 2022 RSM PGA Tour event, it was a breakthrough win for a Canadian. Plus, the CME Group Tour Championship on the LPGA had a lot of money on the line and a familiar champion as well. We're tuned into everyone's favorite couch day, Thanksgiving, and a new favorite from my co-host as well. This week's guests, we have Ryan Rodman and Michael Goldman from OSDB. Ryan has a Hallmark Christmas movie out this week. They talk about their business venture with Aaron Rodgers and a whole lot more. And it's Thanksgiving dessert chat and Mike's birthday week festivities when we always end with food. All of it brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. And Mike, this isn't just any mention for Desert Fox Golf. This is the official Black Friday announcement that if you're wondering right now and you're sitting by your computer and you've got a golfer in your life that you need to shop for, then DesertFoxGolf.com is the website that you can type in right now. Start browsing, use promo code COURSEOFLIFE, save yourself 10%, and have yourself a day. Mike, where would you take them if you were going to go on the website and find them something for the golfer in their life?
You know, Alex, I got to go classic with the phone caddy, because I think the one thing that everyone loves out in the golf course is to have their phone secure and in a place where they can see it at all times on the cart.
Yeah, I mean, we all have phones. So you know a golfer and you know someone who has a phone. So that's a pretty easy one plus two. This is a gift that's a can't fail for any golf in your life. Check out the Desert Fox phone caddy, the tumblers, their merch, their apparel, and everything else they have going on. We love what Desert Fox added with their cigar holder as well. DesertFoxGolf.com. Promo code Course of Life for all your Black Friday needs. Shop, shop, shop. Promo code Course of Life to save 10% off today.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and our newest partners at Forest Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, they were just south of me at the RSM Classic in Sea Island, Georgia, really kind of end of the 2022 calendar year. It's been awfully chilly this weekend along the Georgia coast, and as they were all wrapped up in their hats and jackets and everything.
Big time and retire,
Adam Svensson probably was used to this. He's from Canada. He's used to cold weather. What made this weekend probably even better for him is that he finished on Thursday at 108th after a not real great start and walked away with $1.5 million.
Yeah,
after getting his first win on tour, 6 under 64 to finish and win two clear of the field. Adam Svensson, is he the new Canadian hopeful to win a bunch of tournaments on the PGA Tour?
Yeah, I mean, they've been popping up left and right. You've got Mackenzie Hughes, Adam Hadwin on the main stage right now. Taylor Pendrith has showed his face as well, too. So there's a few I can name right off the top of my head that are sitting higher in the world golf rankings, and Svensson's going to join that list now. I think it's like the 15th or 16th Canadian to win on the PGA Tour. Very cool mark there. And he was very emotional in winning. This is a guy that has kind of floated in between tours. You know, see him every once in a while on the Corn Ferry, Monday Q circuit, mini tour here, mini tour there, popping back up on the PGA Tour. So a true journeyman pro getting that first W, always of a momentous occasion, even if it is the RSM and Classic in November during the middle of football season. There's still a whole lot of people that care, and it's an official PGA Tour win, and it gets marked down as such, and he gets all the privileges as such the next few years as well.
Yeah, we also in the mix over the course of the weekend, Sahith Theegala. He finished two back in a kind of grouping there, at tied for second with Brian Harman and Callum Tarran. Theegala had a pretty breakout season this year, it seems like. Is he ripe to win next year?
Yeah, he was in that rookie of the year conversation as well, too. And I feel like he is due. He's going to put himself in contention enough like this, just like our guy, Taylor Montgomery, who had another solid finish with a T15. You know, these type of guys, it's just kismet and timing, and just the dice are going to hit correctly for them. If they're posting this many top 10, top 20 finishes and throwing themselves up there enough, the ball is going to bounce their way and the putts are going to go in correctly on the Sunday they needed to. So I'm getting those type of vibes for both of those players. A couple of my picks that did well were Joel Damon, another guy who I'm tracking. He's had a lot of top tens recently, Mike. He wishes there could be more tournaments heading into December, but we're all taking a break for a bit now. He was definitely the highlight of my picks this past week. And we'll shout out Dylan Wu as well, a past guest of the Course Life. Made the weekend, T46, good important finish for FedEx Cup points for him as well.
Can we also just shout out real quick, number one in the FedEx Cup, we know it's important in November, but Irishman Seamus Power, T5, he's had a great end of the 2022 calendar year. What are his chances, do you think, of staying in the top 10 by, let's say, the U.S. Open?
I know that's the goal, right? Is like, yeah. Is you get this little jump start, it feels like a little head start. You know what I mean? Like you get, when you get that nice little head start in a running race and you all of a sudden you feel like the fastest person in the world because you're 5 or 10 yards ahead of everyone, yep. But it feels a little faulty. That's how Seamus Power feels right now, but you just got to take it and run with it because that's the nature of the schedule. And he's playing a lot in the fall and he deserves the accolades. So shout out to him and his hot golf. I guess, yeah, that's a good quota is the U.S. Open. I think he can make it there. Maybe stay in the top 10. Just needs probably about 2-3 more top 10s in the spring. We'll take care of it.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's go ahead and talk about the LPGA. They did wrap up their season in Naples, Florida this weekend. Yes,
that was a week ago. It feels like about 14 eons ago, and that was last week that I was there.
Yeah. It was the CME Group Tour Championship with the biggest purse ever in LPGA Tour history.
I saw that.
And Lydia Ko. The best golfer. I mean, really, she's the hottest golfer of the year, hands down. She wins it. She's won a bunch of times on tour this year.
Yeah, I mean, this was her kind of renaissance year. I mean, I sent you all the notes about everything that she won and all the accolades, getting the Vare Trophy back, winning the CME again for her, you know, really putting the cherry on top of this amazing 2022 for her. And we've been joking that Lydia Ko has just been around seemingly forever because she's been a pro since 15 or 16 years old. And we've known her now for what's going on a decade. This is how old we're getting, Mike. Lydia Ko is actually going to get married this offseason. So that's what her offseason plans are after all the success of this fall.
Lydia Ko has 19 wins and she is only 25. She leads on the LPGA Tour most career LPGA Tour wins by players currently under the age of 30. So she is 6 clear of Jin Young Ko, who is 27 and has 13 wins.
Very impressive. Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing with these young stars in women's golf. You've seen it a lot with past history where, you know, they have these teenage breakout moments and it's often very hard to re-harness that energy and see them get back to that level in their 20s and 30s. Sadly, you don't see a lot of those careers fully pay off. Maybe Michelle Wiese did to a certain extent, but not quite the way we all saw it. And there's a lot of examples of that. And Lydia Ko has absolutely broken down all those walls and all those stereotypes. So shout out to what she did this year.
And once again, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it every single week. I want an LPGA, PGA Tour team event so that we can get the best on the LPGA Tour going up against the best on the PGA Tour. And just that's what we need.
That would be fun. It actually had me thinking because I ran into, and you saw the interview with Allie Ewing, who I met at the CME, and she won the match play, the LPGA match play out of Shadow Creek in Vegas. And I was like, man, what if they had like a one-on-one or two-on-two match play event involving the PGA and LPGA pros? That could be something special in the years to come. I know Shadow Creek would be down to host that. So I feel like that's definitely in the cards. And we're speaking it into existence every episode here.
We are. I think what we need is we need the President's Cup and the Ryder Cup to go on a 3-year rotation. And in that third year, we slide in this men's and women's mixed team event.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. There it is. Love it. Good stuff. I like that idea. And one more shout out from the CME, Gemma Dryberg, the Course of Life bump, as we like to refer to it.
Yes, it was.
Gemma Dryberg appeared on last week's episode, immediately followed that up with T13 at Pelican right after I spoke with her. And a T7 in Naples. So instant success immediately for any pros after you appear on this podcast. It's just a known fact. I'm just reporting what I see and what I do.
That's true. And there's a lot more LPGA Tour coming up in 2023. We're going to have a lot of it here on the podcast. You know, we keep talking about it more and more every year on this podcast. And there's a reason for it. It's just fantastic golf. It really is.
Well, and they're friendly to us too. You know what I mean?
They are. I like us.
It's nice when a tour is friendly to us and helps us get really amazing access to really cool content. So you're going to see a lot more of that. Mike, I mean, there's a lot of destinations we could take this if you want to see the LPGA. I mean, I'll throw some cities at you, but this could be back to Dallas for you, a reunion, could be a Vegas trip, could be LA. If you want to go the simple drive, we could head to Orlando. So there's a lot of things in the cards for us in the LPGA next year.
Potentially. There is. And we will speak them all into existence like we do every time on this podcast.
Love it.
Let's talk DP World Tour. They were in this place called Dubai. I don't know if you've heard of it, Alex. It's
pretty nice. It looks beautiful.
It's a nice place. The government there has become the center of controversy in the golf world, but still every year the Europeans or the DP World Tour, we should say, gather there to finish their race to Dubai. And familiar names at the top here. John Rahm again wins this event. And Rory again wins the full race.
Yeah, not a lot of movement there from what we're used to seeing in the race to Dubai. Yeah. But regardless, it does present kind of an interesting scenario that I wanted to touch on you about regarding Rahm and Rory and kind of where everything sits. There's a lot of rumors swirling around that I've seen on social media, Mike, about John Rahm and kind of where he sits in the landscape of the world of golf. You know, friends of his like Sergio Garcia and Mickelson have vaulted over to the LIV Tour and have kind of left him in the dust. And here on the mainland, Rory has done all of these things to make himself the main character in this PGA Tour strategic alliance to go against everything LIV stands for. And John Rahm, it sounds like, might be feeling a little bit left out, a little bit out of the puzzle, and a little bit under-recognized. I think John Rahm might be playing with a little bit extra juice. What do you make of that maybe potential storyline as we kind of head into the new year here?
You know, I won't believe anything until it happens with these rumors with LIV Golf and the PGA Tour and everything that's going on. It's just not worth my time or my energy. You know, there's a lot of things for me to stress over. This over the next month and a half is not it.
I don't know if it's really a Rahm to LIV storyline. I think it's just the idea that Rahm kind of seems like he's not really a part of any conversation right now. When it comes to any tour, he's shared his alliance and he's played all over the world as he has his entire career. So it'll just be interesting to see kind of how he reacts to everything going on around him in the coming months.
Yeah, I mean, I think of John Rahm, I think of just a consistent golfer right now who seems to be invested in the PGA Tour. And he maybe is more following the Rory footstep here where he's, I mean, look, Rory McIlroy won the PGA Tour's FedEx Cup and won the race to Dubai on the DP World Tour.
Big flex.
As we said, if Scottie Scheffler hadn't had the start of year that he had, Rory would have been Player of the Year. And if there were to be a global Player of the Year, it obviously was Rory McIlroy.
Yeah.
And I feel like if John Rahm really wants to model his career and what he wants to do over the course of his career, he needs to model it after Rory. He needs to be on both tours and just consistently win on both tours.
Hey Rory, what can you send me a PDF of your exact schedule next year? I'm going to go ahead and play in every single event you do. Exactly. I'll see you there.
Okay. There you go. Why not? So that's what happened in the world of golf this week. It's kind of quiet from here on out the rest of the year. There's nothing going on Thanksgiving week. There is some stuff in December that'll be coming up. Isn't the match this weekend? Isn't that this weekend?
Scheduled something Thanksgiving weekend, but you know what? I think it's in December. It's in the second week in December that the Tiger, Rory, Jordan Spieth one we're referring to. Yeah, I think that is. So what we got coming up in December, it's an off week coming up, but we got the Hero World Challenge with Tiger back in action, allegedly.
Right.
I don't know. We're going to see him at the range, see how he looks, but sounds like he's going to give it a go. So 72 holes of Tiger, the QBE shootouts, that two-man team event at Tiburon, actually, the exact same course I walked where the CME was last week. And then maybe a little father-son Charlie Tiger drama coming in mid-December as well, too. Mm-hmm. So those are all in the cards here in the next few weeks. Even though it's off-season, these are unofficial events. Definitely some golf drama will circulate in the next few weeks here.
That's right. We'll have it all here. You can follow along with us on Twitter, Course of Life 1 and MWRINC. We're going to be there until it burns down to the ground, and we'll just keep talking golf.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Yeah, I'll be there.
Let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. For me, Alex, I've been watching a new animated fantasy television show called The Legend of Vox Machina. It's on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
It's kind of a dark comedy sort of thing. It's kind of this amalgamation of all these different fantasy characters on like team buildup sort of thing, and they're fighting different fantasy creatures.
Interesting. What's the season count? Where are we at in the show?
We've watched, I think, maybe three or four episodes right now. They defeated they fight a dragon. Spoiler, they fight a dragon. I may have said defeated.
As they should. No, that's fine.
It's a little gory, but not too gory. It's kind of like funny gory. It's one of those things.
Vex Machina. Okay.
The Legend of Vox Machina. I thought it was Vex. It's really Vox Machina.
Vox Machina. So, okay. Yeah. Amazon Prime. Yeah. We'll do. Check out. Love it. I mean, I'm tuned into sports, but under the guise of everything going on with the Thanksgiving holiday, Mike. So that's what I was taken to for my important journalistic assignment with my friends at runyourpool.com, Mike. This is what I was hired to do, is write the hard-hitting journalistic pieces that the others won't dare go to. So this week on runyourpool.com, I have the official guide to your Thanksgiving Day watching, eating, entertaining, talking with family experience. I basically walk you through the entire day as the sports plays on your TV. So it does seem to be a pretty busy schedule. Based on the article I put together on there.
I mean, there are now, as there has been for several years now, three football games on Thanksgiving instead of two.
Yep. Three. We have 12:30 Eastern time. We've got 3:30 Eastern time, 4:30 Eastern time. And then we've got 8:20 nightcap with the Patriots. We have college football. We've got college basketball. I have laid out times when you will actually be able to talk with your family and listen to them without missing any football. I've laid out the correct times to eat your meals so you're not missing too much sports, and also how to get the optimal amount of couch time while still enjoying a lot of food. These are the important things that not every sports journalist is covering that I dare go to.
So let me ask a question without you giving away the article. How much time do I have to sit down and eat?
I'm two-coursing this. Like I said, I've got an appetizer course several hours before my main course. So, but I'm giving you at least 30 to 45 minutes for each course of eat time. So at 90 minutes solid, you can take dessert to the TV side though later on for the last football game. That definitely has to happen. It's really hard to get that dessert plate in without missing any football.
Oh, yeah, I got no problem with eating dessert in front of the TV, because by that point, I've had enough of my family and I don't need to listen or talk to you anymore. Okay, I just want to pay attention to the football. Yeah, that's fine.
Want to make sure we're on the same page. And it's Patriots nightcap, too. So this should be entertaining. And I just realized this is like a sneaky, busy content day for you and me. Between all the food we're making and the football going on, we got Pats and Giants on Thursday. So should be a busy one for us.
It's going to be an interesting day for sure. We'll talk more football in a little bit. But for now, let's get into this week's featured guests. It's plural.
Yes.
Back in 2020, back in the day, I think this was during the time that we dare not speak anymore.
That's right. Correct.
We had an actor and entrepreneur by the name of Ryan Rotman on the show. I don't know if you remember him, Alex. Actor. He's been in a bunch of movies. He's
friend
been friends
Tanner
with
Beard as well, too. Shout out Tanner Beard.
Good friends with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if you've heard of that guy before.
Do know him as well, too. Familiar with his work.
Yeah. Back then, he also had this venture called OSDB that he did with Aaron Rodgers. It was just an idea back then at the time.
And he was on this podcast then. Just a little baby. And now it's turned into a grown toddler, which we discussed with Ryan and his business partner, Michael Goldman, as well, too. OSDB, kind of like the IMDB for sports. You get that? See that? Online sports database. Yep. So we get into the business, the background, how it's created, everything it does, the partnerships they've yielded, and a little bit more from Ryan and Michael. And like I mentioned, Ryan's got a Hallmark Christmas movie coming out this week. It's Thanksgiving Thursday night on the Hallmark movie channel. So be sure to check that out. But a really cool conversation around sports, business, technology, with a couple of great guests.
We'll get into that conversation in just a second. But first, let's talk about Vorus Golf. They're one of our newest partners here on the podcast. They've got some cool polos on their website for sale from vorusgolf.com.
Yes.
They've got hats as well. But really, the thing you need to get, Alex, for all your golfing friends, because we know everyone has everything. Golfers have everything. Mm-hmm. But what I don't think golfers really have is golf gloves with this new through touch technology.
Because they do what I do and what a lot of us do is you just buy that cheap Amazon glove and you just wear it out. You know, you just get whatever's convenient at the moment, or whatever you feel like spending, or literally whatever's in the pro shop the morning you realize you don't have a glove. That's always a move too. And then you burn that into the ground and you don't really think about exactly what's going into the glove, because it's how you hold a club and it's quite important. And when you have that through touch technology, it's important to have a glove that you can rely on, but also a glove where you can use your phone apps and quickly go from using your phone to playing on the course in a smart, strategic way. So check out the through-touch technology and everything Vorus Golf has to offer at vorusgolf.com. Promo code COL18. 18% off Black Friday, Mike? That's a pretty good deal. 18% off anything in the store at vorusgolf.com. Promo code COL18 to get yourself some golf gear for yourself or the golfer in your life today. All right, next up on the tee out in sunny California, a couple of guest entrepreneurs. One of them is an actor who first appeared on The Course of Life in 2020, back to catch us up on his life and ventures. And most importantly, he's got a holiday movie premiering on the Hallmark Channel, Thanksgiving Night, My Southern Family Christmas. Ryan Rotman, one of the stars, and he's joining us again on The Course of Life alongside his business partner at OSDB, Michael Goldman. Ryan, Michael, how's everyone doing today?
Doing fantastic, man. I appreciate you having us on again. It's been a minute since we last did this and since I last saw you at the golf tournament.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that was about a year or so ago. I saw Ryan and the whole crew out there. We were supporting Tanner's Mammoth Media Institute Open, Tanner Beard, who everyone knows from Holy Moly fame and everything else. He's got a movie of his own coming out too. You were fresh off a hole in one when I last saw you at that event. I guess, how's the game been in the last year or so since the hole in one moment?
The hole in one moment was pretty epic. Michael was actually there to witness it. And thankfully, not only did I have my foursome, but on the hole next to us was another foursome of all my friends. And so everyone was there to witness it. Thankfully at our club, they give out free drinks instead of me having to buy free drinks for everyone.
Nice.
Buy drinks. So that was a win for me as a second win for the day. Golf game's been okay. Played quite a bit at the beginning of the year and got kind of a little burnt out at the end, but staying steady about a six. So I'm feeling okay about it.
There's a little more to the hole in one story, if I could just chime in real quick since I was there.
Yeah, give me a little context. I remember getting a brief synopsis about maybe one bounce and a hop back in, but I'm sure you could tell a better story.
No, Ryan's very modest. This is actually one of my favorite stories. I actually just started playing golf about 18 years ago, so I'm not very good.
Right. Yeah, makes sense.
So I'm coming off a solid three over on the first hole. We get to the second hole, which is about 155 yard par three. It's a little windy that day. Ryan tees off, hits a really good shot, literally turns to me and says, "It's in the hole." Now, playing golf with Ryan, who's a phenomenal golfer, he doesn't say that too often. Me, I always say that, and I never come close to the hole. So after he says it's in the hole, we drive up, we pull up, we park the cart, and Ryan gets out and there's no ball on the green. So we figured because it was a little windy that day that he probably flew the green. Now, as he mentioned, we had two other friends coming down the fifth hole, which runs right behind the second hole.
Okay.
They see us, they start talking trash to us. Ryan's looking on the fringe for his ball and there's nothing there. So now he starts thinking to himself, could it be? And he takes about a 15-yard walk to the pin, looks down, and the ball was in the hole. Hole in one. Everybody starts going crazy. Now, the part that I'm sure Ryan didn't tell you was this happened at about 1:59 p.m. in the afternoon, obviously. And he looks down at his phone and goes, "Oh, my God, I have a work call." So instead of celebrating, he gets on a work call. So I call the clubhouse to let them know that Ryan got a hole in one. The clubhouse was trying to figure out why in the heck someone else was calling other than Ryan to report the hole in one.
Right. That's confusing. Yeah.
So my girlfriend has happened to have been in the clubhouse and calls me and says, did Ryan just get a hole in one? I'm like, how do you know? She's like, because they're trying to verify it and they don't believe you. It's like, what do you mean they don't believe me? They're like, they don't know why you would have called. But the long story short is that Ryan actually took a work call while all of his buddies were celebrating his hole in one on the second hole.
Yeah, you know, priorities. Priorities.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, OSDB is clearly coming first. I can tell.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Yeah, let's get to that because our audience last heard about you and your OSDB venture with Michael, Aaron Rodgers. And it was just a baby when we were talking about this in its infancy. Now it's a full grown toddler at this point, right?
Oh, yeah. He's got legs. He can walk now.
Nice.
She can walk now, whatever you want to, you know, they. they can walk now. And it's, yeah, it's standing alone. And since then, it's really, really grown into something pretty cool.
And for people who don't understand the concept, explain OSDB and explain that IMDb parallel and what it provides for sports fans in real time.
Yeah, so OSDB for online sports database. And, you know, as being an actor for so long, I've had to use IMDb, which is the Internet Movie Database, where you can it's a one-stop shop for all things. You know, when you're watching your movie and you want to see, I've seen that actor before, what's he been in? Even if you Google it, IMDb is what comes up.
Right.
Aaron and I produced together, and, you know, he's been one of my closest friends for a really long time. I mentioned the idea to him. He absolutely loved it. So him and I started it. And it's IMDb means a verified Wikipedia for all things sports. So if you want to learn everything about your favorite athlete on and off the field, from their business ventures, contract details, endorsements, who their agents, managers, PR team are, their stats, bio, socials, nicknames, just come to OSDB and check it out. And then also your favorite teams, like why are the Packers called the Packers? What championships have the Yankees won? So essentially it's a one-stop shop and you don't have to go from site to site to figure out everything you want to know about sports.
Yeah, I love the service it provides, and it is those real-time answers to the alternate questions that you're asking as you're watching the game broadcast play out in real time. And Michael, in terms of your involvement in the process of getting OSDB to where it is today, the first thing that I think of when I flip through OSDB is I'm like, wow, there is just a whole ton of data that has to get in, first of all. Talk about the combo of the man and the design hours to create OSDB.
Yeah, it was quite the undertaking. We have a small team, but we're mighty. You know, we aggregate a lot of the information ourselves. And then once we get it, we do get it verified from not only the player themselves, but their agent, manager, or publicist. Mm. So it's been quite a process. We have, four sports on the site right now, launching NHL in February. So we're getting ready to ramp up again. But it's constantly, you know, as in sports, there's never a day off. So it's constantly moving. There's constantly players switching teams, players signing endorsement deals, stats. So it's, you know, we don't have 9-to-5s. We have 24/7s.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. If you know anything about sports too, it's nights, weekends, and holidays. So you got to be on because it's changing every moment. Doesn't work on workday hours. That's for sure. And you mentioned it earlier and Aaron's involvement as well too, Ryan, or either one of you can touch on it, but I know, you know, he gave kind of feedback on how OSDB allows him as an athlete to display his full body of work beyond football, you know, the charities where he's working with and things he's doing off the field as well too. How does the athlete feedback, you know, work into how you guys are shaping the database and how do you go about taking that in?
No, a lot of it, like a big thing for Aaron was on his social, he can only showcase essentially one charity that he's involved in when he's actually involved in, you know, I think it's 12 different charities. So he really wanted a place to be able to showcase that, but also, and he always says, we're not building this for the 1% of athletes. The him, the Aaron Judges, the, you know, the Bryce Harpers, we're building it for the other 99% of athletes that, you know, the more you know about an athlete, the bigger fan you become. And also showcase a lot of the things that they do. That's amazing. Like Thaddeus Young has 98 investments, I believe. The amount of money
that's
he makes.
Wild.
His investments is crazy. You know, a lot of them have rap albums or podcasts or, you know, just so many unique things that we want to be able to showcase. And that was something that Aaron wanted to really do was get out there and show that these guys are more than just who they are on and off the field or court. And so that's what we set out to do.
Very neat. One piece I want to highlight as well, too, is the editorial aspect of the website, because you brought in some unique voices to OSDB. One in particular, I'm a Pats fan, so it was really cool to hear perspective from Lonnie Paxton, a Super Bowl champion who'd been through it all at the beginning of the Tom Brady era. But what's the current and the future look like for editorial content on OSDB? Because I think it kind of shines, like I said, that new light on athletes that we don't always see through Wikipedia or a Google search.
No, absolutely. And what we focus on at OSDB is really highlighting the player away from their sport. You know, and Ryan will roll his eyes, too bad there's not video. We don't care much about the X's and O's. There's so many places you can go to read about X's and O's and critiquing players for their performance when we really just want to highlight them and celebrate them. And Lonnie's a perfect example. I did a pre-call with him before we did the interview. We talked for about 20 minutes. We talked about all the stuff he has going on, all the stuff off the field. And I swear to you, at the very end of the conversation, I said to him, Lonnie, you know what's crazy? We just talked for 20 minutes and we didn't even talk about the fact that you're a 3-time Super Bowl winner with the Patriots. And that's really what we try and do at OSDB. We're storytellers. We want to tell good stories. You know, we've really gotten the trust from the athletes and their representation because of the kind of stories that we want to cover. You won't typically see other publications talking about, you know, a soccer player starting a candle company with his wife. That's important to him and the wife. And that's a cool story that it's like, oh my God, these athletes are so much more than just athletes. They do all of these amazing things away from their job. And one of the things I talked to Lonnie about was there was a time 10, 15 years ago where you hear athletes say, you know, going on a business trip or going to work, but now they actually have work. Like Ryan mentioned, Thaddeus Young has tons of business ventures and deals he's working on away from the field. So it's cool seeing these athletes have that shift from player to businessman. And now their real offices are the boardroom. So it's really fun to see. And those are the kind of stories that we tell.
Yeah, they're fun to read. And these are neat conversation pieces, too, because me and my buddies of 2000s NBA days know the name Thaddeus Young. And we're saying, God, what happened to Thaddeus Young? Therein lies the answer right there. So it's really cool to read that perspective about what these guys do after their career as well. The one league I wanted to highlight, you mentioned the sports that you're already collaborating with. The NHL is coming soon. You got the other major sports online. And I want to talk about the MLS, though, and your partnership and the growth and exposure that's been featured on the platform there. That's a league, admittedly, that I was never really the biggest soccer fan in the world. Second tier sport, maybe for me. But once Austin FC invaded the city where I am, I caught the bug big time. Tell me a little bit about the partnership and working with the MLS and what you've been able to highlight in that league specifically.
Yeah. So, you know, like you said, MLS at this point, it's such an underserved sport. You know, we really, you know, it's funny. We get tremendous amount of traffic because we are covering those players. We're showing them in a different light, like we are for the other sports. You know, our search capabilities for MLS has been incredible because there's not many publications talking about them and covering them the way that we do.
Nice. And Ryan, I know from a soccer perspective, you got a lot of baseball background from when you were younger. Is that right? What's your love affair with soccer? I see you've taken in a lot of LAFC content and games in the last couple of years, and they just lifted a championship trophy of their own. So it might have something to do with your attendance, I guess.
I think I'm bringing good luck to the team. So I'm going to go ahead and take partial credit for their victory. You know, I'm a lover of sports. I love watching anything and everything that has some kind of competition to it, and watching guys that, guys that have put their all into something and succeeded at it. Becoming, you know, getting to that level, regardless of what sport it is, takes a lot of time and dedication. And so I love watching that. But, you know, what really gave my love to MLS and, you know, even the cup game that we just went to, which was actually Philadelphia Union, not Sounds, that's Seattle Sounds, I think.
Nice. Yeah.
Union, earlier. Okay. But to be honest, was going to the games. First game I went to, I just fell in love with it. It's, you know, 90 minutes of continuous play. There's no stoppage. You're constantly being able to watch something. The fans are just so into it and energetic that you feel a part of it. And ever since I took that first game in a couple of years ago, I've become obsessed. And I go to as many as I possibly can to can go to on top of baseball, hockey, and football out here.
Yeah, it's a really cool environment for sure. And it was showcased in the MLS Cup. And you're right that the fan experience and how crazy they go at the MLS stadiums is nuts. The Austin FC fan base is probably the loudest continuous fan base I've ever seen at a sporting event. They go hard for the entire Nerds.
It's wild. There's a section called the 3252, and it's 3,252 seats, and they chain them closed. You have to be invited into the section. And they literally just... they cheer for the entire game. So there's no sitting. They're on their feet. They're chanting. They have almost a conductor, whatever you want to call it, that is down there just, telling them what chant to do. And it's, it just draws you into the game. You can't help but not be a part of it and love the energy.
It's funny for people who've been for the first time, because they're like, 10, 15 minutes in, they're wondering if this is going to stop. No, it really doesn't stop. They actually just keep going for the entire game. It's quite something.
Yes.
They were lighting off flares. They were waving flags. Like it's something like you've never seen before. And, I think the two greatest sports to watch in person are hockey and soccer. And it's just continuous. And there's no other sports experience like going to a MLS game in person.
Very cool. I guess so. From an OSDB perspective, where does it continue sports wise from here? You mentioned the four sports we highlighted in the NHL coming soon. Kind of what's next on the horizon from leagues and bodies to add? Because the pursuit is seemingly endless. Because you and I know how deep the world of sports truly goes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the cool thing for us is we get to kind of pick and choose what we feel depending on what the audience is asking us for. The user base, but it looks like NASCAR or F1 will be our next sport following NHL. Esports will be up there. We're going to do everything from pickleball to darts to rugby. If it's a professional sport, we will have it on the site. And, 3 to 5 year plan is to have collegiate and high school as well to be able to showcase those phenomenal athletes, help them maybe get drafted, get a scholarship into college. So, really every sport, which is very exciting that there's kind of no end to this. But I'd say the nearest sports will probably be the NASCAR or F1, PGA, tennis, WNBA, got all those women's sports in there as well. And then just, continually move on and kind of see what the users are wanting to see. And, it's crazy. Our contract section has been a huge draw for a lot of the users, which has been really cool to see.
That was fascinating. I kind of went through Austin FC. I was looking down the roster, seeing what they're all making. It was very intriguing because I hadn't quite really taken a look at it from a financial perspective. It was neat to see. Yeah, so it's OSDB on social as well. And Ryan Rotman, Michael Goldman, both joining us here as well too. So it's really cool to see what you guys are creating with this platform. And I'm excited. I mean, Michael, I'll let you wrap OSDB from a design perspective. What's up next from a design and tech perspective to just make this database grow and get out to even more sports fans?
I think, part of our success is because the website is so visually appealing.
Yeah.
We are going to be continued to add, it's kind of cool. The idea that as long as there's sports, we're going to have jobs and we're just going to continue to grow and continue to innovate. We're going to be having a lot of, through our connections with Aaron and various, avenues, we're going to have a lot of athlete participation in the near future. So we'll have some really big name guys doing some cool editorials, some video content. We're going to be adding a video player soon, so you'll be able to see highlights. So really it's just about growth and giving users what they want so they don't have to go to 25 different places to get their sports news.
Very cool. Love it. Again, yeah, OSDB, OSDB Sports to follow on social. Be sure to tune in and get all your information that you wouldn't normally find for all your favorite athletes and teams. Ryan Rotman, Michael Goldman joining us. Ryan, we'd be remiss if we didn't touch on what basically everyone's locked into the entire holiday season, because I know you got a really new cool project coming out. Back with the Hallmark Channel for the holidays. Last year, it was Christmas for Keeps. This year, he stars in My Southern Family Christmas, Thanksgiving night, 8 p.m. Eastern time. We're all locked in here. It's Hallmark season. It has been for about a month in my household. Tell me a little bit about the filming process and everything.
Yeah, tis the season. It's crazy. I've done a ton of different shows in my career, and these are just beloved. So it's really fun to, you know, my demographic went from younger, you know, girls from being on Nickelodeon and 90210 and younger guys to having them ask for something for their mother or their grandparents. So that's been fun to watch. But yeah, it's a great, My Southern Family Christmas, like you said, it's based out of like Baton Rouge, that area.
Mm-hmm. And you guys actually filmed there, right? In Louisiana?
We filmed there, yeah. And let me tell you, I'm wearing a long sleeve shirt, a sweater, and a jacket in 104 degree weather all day is it's a tough one. So I went through a couple of shirts, to say the least. But yeah, it's cool because you get to see how the Southern families, especially in that region, celebrate Christmas, you know, where they don't necessarily have their Santa is, you know, completely different. He's wearing overalls and suspenders, rides in on a flatbed boat on the water. So it's really cool to kind of see that. I learned a lot of different traditions that they have down there. And, you know, I also got to work along some really, really great, great people. JC Elliott, who's my, a love interest in the film, Bruce Campbell, who's fantastic from, you know, all the fun cult movies that we've known through the past. So it was really cool.
Very cool. Well, yeah, JC Elliott, well, a lot of people know from Grey's Anatomy as well. Hands out there. Yeah. What was the experience like with her on set as a love interest as well?
It was fantastic, man. It was one of those things you never know, you know, stepping onto set the first day, kind of how your counterpart's going to be, right? Are you going to get along? You know, you're probably going to have to kiss this person and really showcase some kind of chemistry. So when you get on, is it, you know, how's it going to go? And just almost immediately we had the same kind of humor. She's fantastic. She's actually French, which I didn't know. She's only lived in the US for, I think, around like 8 years. And she's been on Grey's for like six of those. So her first language is French, but, you know, she speaks French. You can tell when she's on the phone with her family and then, you know, obviously fluent in English. She was a sweetheart, just a lovely person to work with, came super prepared. She's a great actress. And so was, you know, Bruce, everyone on set was fun and funny. And that's one thing I love about these Hallmark movies is, you know, as uplifting as they are watching them and fun, it's the same on set. We're all joking around and having a great time. Everyone's super professional, but at the same time can, you know, let loose and have some fun and some jokes.
Good times. I know last time when we joked and talked about your scenes with Emily Osment back in the day, we talked about the almost kiss versus the kiss scene and what that's actually like on set and how you had to do that extremely early in the filming process sometime. What are we going to expect from the kissing scenes here with JC? Was that a day one recording for you and her?
No, thankfully, you know, it's all, like I said, it's always so interesting when you first meet someone, and especially I've had those days where they're like, all right, yeah. You shake hands, you're like, hey, nice to meet you. And then next thing you know, you're kissing. But, you know, I've been asked, like, what's your favorite part of the Hallmark movies? And for me, it's always the near kiss, right? Like, how many times do you almost kiss and get interrupted? And then finally you share that big one towards the end of the film. But, yeah, thankfully not the first day, which is extremely awkward.
That's good. All right. At least you had a little time to get to know each other like that.
Yeah. I mean, at least on a first date, if you kiss, you have, you know, a dinner or a movie or something to get to know the person, you know, beforehand. And this is just like simply like, you know, 50, 60 people standing around all staring at you. And you have to make sure that you, you know, your head is turned a certain way for camera when you kiss. It's all very technical.
I love it. Awesome. Again, it's My Southern Family Christmas, Thanksgiving night, 8 p.m. Eastern. For those who are tuning in, we got Ryan Rotman and his partner, Michael Goldman from OSDB. Let's get into some quick shot questions. This is for the both of you. I guess the question is, Thanksgiving night, who are you guys going to be watching the movie with? Ryan, is there a Texas visit to the holidays for you this season, or are you staying out west?
My parents are coming out here, giving them a little change of scenery from Texas, a little change of weather as well. So they're going to be coming out here. And, you know, we usually sit around. I'm not a big fan of watching myself, so I usually like to do it with, you know, my friends or family always want to. So we usually do it, and, you know, with Hallmark, there's some fun kind of drinking games you can do along with it and or just games.
Oh, well, there we go. Okay.
So we usually sit around and make some sort of game or have fun with it to watch. And that's kind of how we usually do it. I think Michael usually has three TVs going.
Yeah, actually, not to go away from your question, I have for sports purposes, I have three TVs in my living room, and one night I thought it'd be fun to put a different Ryan Rotman project on each TV.
Yes, I like that.
And I sent him the picture, and it kind of did well amongst our friend group, so it was pretty funny.
So Ryan Rotman mega stream, I appreciate that. Yeah, and you will be two screens that night going up against some football. So, but I'll have both on. Don't worry about it. I'm loyal to both. That's okay.
I will too.
Okay, nice. In terms of firsts for you, I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you went to your first baby shower for some friends of yours, Paul and Ashley Green, who everyone know from Twilight fame. Baby showers, were they overrated, underrated, or properly rated?
You know, I'd say it was perfectly rated. I would usually say they're overrated. This was perfect in the sense that, you know, I've never been to a baby shower before where you can get a tattoo.
Oh, right? Wow.
They had brought a tattoo artist in. They had a bunch of smaller tattoos you could get. So they had Casamigos had a bar there. They had a tattoo artist, bunch of friends, family. So it was, you know, some fun games. So it was a really great time getting to celebrate with two of my best friends as well. But if they're all like that, then I'll see you at every one. But I have a feeling that they're not.
Yeah, so that one's underrated. That one's underrated right there. That was top notch.
I guess my answer now after hearing that, every baby shower I've been to is definitely overrated.
Yep, I think so, Michael. I think we're on the same side there. I like that. Let's talk golf for a second. Both of you can answer this. Maybe you've played some rounds. I don't know how your game is right now, but nicest course you guys have played this year in 2022?
That's a good question. I'd probably say Yellowstone Club.
Heard a lot of things. Yes. Sounds like very, a pretty very, luxury experience.
It was very, very cool course. Very, very cool course.
How about you, Michael?
I would say Pelican. Pelican's the nicest course I've played at this year for sure.
Okay, cool. Where's that at?
Like Newport Beach.
Oh, nice. Yes. A very nice part. Very cool. Yeah. Love it. I saw a few projects, Ryan, on your IMDb. We got the Christmas movie out. Obviously, OSDB, you're hard at work at with Michael. What else? What other work of yours will we see you in soon, though?
Acting wise, not much. I usually just stick to, you know, the Hallmark Christmas movies nowadays. Because we're so busy with OSDB that this is my full time job now. And then I dip in for some Hallmark goodness at the end of the year, every year. And, but we are producing some films that I'll be able to tell you about next time we do one of these calls.
Exciting stuff. Michael Goldman, Ryan Rotman, OSDB, again, OSDB Sports. Be sure to check out OSDB and everything it has to offer. Really great content for sports fans of all walks. Thank you both for hopping on. Excited to see the Christmas movie and happy holidays, both of you.
Thank you. Happy holidays, man. I appreciate your time and thanks for having us on.
And we're back. Great chat there with Ryan and Michael. You know, I'm on the osdbsports.com website right now that they put together, and they have this whole list of everyone born this week.
Oh, that's fun. You got a birthday coming up. Who's joining you here?
Yeah, so I scroll down to see, like, who's got a birthday with me. Malik Davis from the Cowboys. Gunnar you pronounced his name better for
Gunnar
me.
Gunnar Olszewski, yes, former Patriot, love that.
Now the Steelers, okay. But all these kids, because I'm going to call them kids. Only one of them is turning 30. Everyone else is younger than 30.
Oh, geez. And I am old alert here. Courtesy of OSTV.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate that.
Whippersnappers here.
It does speak to a bigger point. Like all that information is like really never been in one spot. It's kind of cool what they've done and put all this athlete data about their endorsements, their contract, their sponsorship, everything they're doing on and off the field. It's a neat concept, and I love what Ryan and Michael are developing with it. And there's a lot more to come, certainly with their partnerships, which they touched on. So thanks to them for joining. And like Ryan said, My Southern Family Christmas. Thanksgiving night, 8 p.m. Eastern time, Hallmark Channel. So this is a two screener for me, Mike. We got Hallmark on one side and the Pats on the other. So it should be an action-packed Thanksgiving night.
Which one's going to have the sound on?
I'm gonna go alternate, probably with commercials. Okay. I'm fancy enough. I can do it. I'm a big boy.
It doesn't depend on what happens during the Pats game.
Yeah, and you know how many kissing scenes Ryan has as well too. I already told him those are my favorites, so I can't miss those. You know.
All right. And if you like that conversation, plus everything else we do here on this podcast, make sure you punch that subscribe button on the podcast app you're using right now so you never miss an episode whenever it drops. Follow us on Instagram, COL Podcast, and we're on Twitter, like we said, till it burns to the ground, Course of Life 1 and MWRINC.
Yes.
Let's talk football, because what a weekend it was. TCU wins at the last second. Ooh. Tennessee gets devoured. Oh my God, they are done, just over with. They're not, just horrible for me as a Tennessee fan there. And your picks, not good. You got beat up in your picks almost as badly as Tennessee got beat.
Oh man, Tennessee giving up 63 to South 63. Carolina. That's a lot. Yeah they were the one to go down. A couple of thrilling finishes. TCU had me up off my seat again. That team, they are like the cardiac kids, I swear to God. They win with the last second field goal. They rush the field goal unit on. I sent you the winner on Twitter. Just an electric scene in Waco here as they won that game at the last second. So they hold on. They stay in the top four. It's all about Ohio State, Michigan next Saturday. That basically knocks one of them out. And then we go into the madness of rivalry weekend and then conference championship weekend after that. So, crazy times in college football. I wish I could be delivering more winners right now. Not going to lie. I wish I could, but just not there, I guess.
How are your winners on the NFL side of the ball? We're recording this a little early. It is a Sunday evening because of the holiday.
We have some different schedules going on. I do have good news.
Yeah.
I can report a winning card from my NFL picks.
There you go. Finally.
3-2 against the spread. So that's good to report. Woefully off on betting the over, however, in the New England Patriots game, Mike. I said all week, I love the over. I love the over. High scoring game for the Patriots. This is the week that the offense breaks open. The Jets are going to score some touchdowns on their own. We're going way over 38 points. The slowest game and the worst played game in the history of the NFL was played, and I watched every single down of it as the Pats won 10-3 with a field goal and a punt return for a touchdown with 5 seconds left. That's all I got.
I mean, at least you guys won.
Yeah, that's what my wife kept saying to me. It is a consolation. I think this is maybe the worst I've ever felt about the Patriots after a win in my entire life. And that's counting some ugly days in the 90s before Tom Brady. So interesting times in Foxborough. They're 6-4. We're curiously, you know, if you throw the graphic up there, Mike, we're in the playoffs if they started tomorrow, curiously. But there's just a lack of confidence on the offensive end that's flabbergasting, to say the least. Nonetheless, you're right. We did get the win after all.
Yeah. My Giants, meanwhile, not great.
The Lions. For some reason, I just had this weird feeling that the Giants were going to have a letdown.
They really kind of laid an egg
Thursday. We both got Thursday action coming up here, so I don't really know what that means for us, but I don't know. I'm coming off an ugly win heading into Thanksgiving. You're coming off an ugly loss. What would you rather be going into Thanksgiving football, I guess?
I mean, it doesn't help that we're going into Dallas and we lost to Dallas as that first loss of the season came to Dallas at the Meadowlands. And now we're going into.
Yeah. The only thing I have really going for me is we're going up against Kirk Cousins in primetime football. Kirk Cousins is absolutely deplorable in night games. He is pretty unstoppable when the sun is out. But as soon as the sun goes down, he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. So we have that going for us on Thursday night. So I'll say my prayer that pattern repeats itself again.
We'll see what happens, and we'll either be crying or cheering here next week.
Pretty much, yes.
Let's hashtag always end with food.
That's right. Our food segment to end every Course of Life podcast episode. Follow Always End with Food on Instagram. We've got some really cool content coming because it's Thanksgiving week. It's your birthday week. Let's start with the holiday before we get to the birthday first. Part 3 of our Thanksgiving conversation. We're here. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the apps. If you want to check that out at the end of the episode. Last week, we talked about the meal. Now we got to get to the end. We got to talk about the desserts, Mike. You come from the bakery. You get baking through your blood each and every day. I'm very curious to see what direction you go for Thanksgiving desserts.
So the wife is making dessert.
Oh wow! Oh, it's like the chef's day off, basically.
Well,
it's
like, I mean, like, I'm making
like
the turkey.
You're the chef coming home, and you're like, no, I don't feel like cooking. I cook all the time.
I'm making the turkey. I'm making the biscuits. I'm making the sides. I'm making the stuffing. I made butter today. But as a result of making butter, you get buttermilk. The buttermilk is going into the biscuits.
You can throw the butter on the dessert too if you want. You go crazy.
Well, the butter, homemade butter, you don't know your liquid content as well, which is a problem. And you know, moisture is important in baking. So the butter will be go like on the biscuits on the table. So so we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But she is making a peanut butter pie for dessert.
Classic. Yes.
Yeah.
Bake or no bake?
It is a bake.
Yeah, there's a no bake one that's pretty straightforward, and the bake one's awesome too. I love it. It's a great dessert. Unlimited amount of chocolate can always help that too. So you can't go wrong there. It's going to be good. We're pretty simple. I'm doing a fun little cinnamon roll, apple pie kind of fusion baked dessert with some icing on top. And a little vanilla ice cream, something like that. That's the new one I'm doing straight out of the oven, that which I have not tried yet. Other than that, it's just store-bought pumpkin pie. But that's the one I'm making myself. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that comes out. That's the dessert plan. It's pretty straightforward. I think we still got some leftover Halloween candy, so we'll enjoy that too as well.
Yeah. I think we're finally getting rid of the leftovers that we have, because we do Tootsie Rolls. We're that house, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
yes, and like I said, not only is it a holiday week, birthday in order. Happy birthday, sir. We're coming up your birthday week here. What are the plans?
Well, outside of Thanksgiving, there really isn't a whole lot on the docket, because since we have a puppy that is now, 10 weeks old, we can't go anywhere.
Those really, are your plans now, the puppy.
probably, honestly, what we're going to do, we're going to order a Chinese. We're going to order in Chinese and get some, some orange chicken going on there. And as is tradition, you say what you want for dessert and it must be provided to you. So I picked out a cheesecake with a cranberry kind of topping on it, which looked kind of different. And we're going to have that. So
I like that cheesecake cranberry topping, giving off a nice little holiday vibe there.
Yeah.
Sounds like a nice treat. Good stuff. Yeah, all right. That's Always End With Food. That's a nice wrap. Check out Always End With Food on Instagram and COL Podcast as well, too. A lot of cool holiday, Thanksgiving, birthday week content coming your way. Thank you for tuning in. If you haven't hit the subscribe button by now, do that. Thank you. And we'll see you next week.